John chapter 20, look with me in verse 19, and I'm going to read through all the way through to about verse 29, and we'll see what we have here. John chapter 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he shewed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for another day you have made. And we're so thankful for those that have come early to the sunrise service this morning. Be with your word, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and be with our hearts. And Father, be attentive, not only just today in the fact that we celebrate a resurrected Savior, but every day. We can celebrate and look forward to your return. Now be with this message, be with the hearts, be with the messages coming up, the preaching and the teaching. We pray that it bring you glory and honor, the singing, the offering, everything that takes place. Now, Father, be with our day, be with our morning. We ask this in Jesus Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen. So here, quite an amazing portion of Scripture, but I believe it's fitting for today and what we're looking forward to, and I'm glad you've come out. Here, just for a few minutes, I want to say something about a living Savior. Everything hinges, everything that we believe as Christians and the Christians in all the world since the cross hinges on the resurrected Savior, or the Jesus Christ resurrecting from the grave bodily, not just spiritually, but physically. And here we see an account that was recorded, and John records it, and it is put in the canon. It's inspired. It's given of God, given by God for you and I today. We still preach. We still teach this. We believe in one of the only religions in the world of a resurrected Savior. That's what separates Christianity, you might say, from the rest of, I will call them cults or other religions in the world. You have, if you're saved this morning, have put your faith and trust in a risen Savior. And I'm so thankful for that, because he has arisen. One day we will rise, whether we be in the ground or whether we're still living, we're going to resurrect with him and be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Bible says when he calls us up into the clouds to be ever with him. And so we see here, I want to draw your attention in verses 19 to 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. This is one of the reasons you'll see this repeated after the cross, the first day of the week. That old Sabbath from the Jewish lineage is done away with for a Christian. You get some Christians that get messed up there. You'll keep seeing the first day of the week. That's when we assemble. Why do we go to church, Mom? Why do we go to church, Grandpa, Grandma, on Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday? It's because it's the Lord's day, the first day of the week. That's when he resurrected. And somebody might push that a little bit further, because being that is part of the resurrection, the death and the burial, somebody might say, why do you guys do a midweek service? We just do it because we like to turn the lights on and show up out of our busy schedules. We assemble on a Wednesday night because counting backwards from early Sunday morning, you got 3 days and three full nights. He went in the ground sometime Wednesday evening or Thursday, somewhere around there. That is another reason why we celebrate a risen Savior on a Wednesday. On a Wednesday. You say, wow, I never knew that. Here, this is what it indicates in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. There was fear in their midst. There was fear before he went to the cross. Remember, the Bible says in Isaiah that they scattered the sheep. They had stricken the shepherd. So the prophet says, and the sheep have scattered. And that's what happened. They had arrested Jesus. They had taken him to Pilate's hall and had begun to scourge him and question him and begin the process of putting him on a cross. And it says here, right in our text, the reason why, and I'll read some verses to end this, but I want to draw your attention to something. I want to say the appearance of a living Savior. Number one, we want to see the appearance of the living Savior. It says, when the doors were shut in verse 19, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. I like, it has a little note, the doors were shut. That is telling you something, that his resurrected body, although you could thrust your finger into his wounds that he had just gotten from the cross, but he was able with that body, that glorified body, to walk through a shut door. And so I'm thankful for that. That's telling you a lot right there. If you had a comic book in front of you, or you had some other kind of sci-fi book, and you got somebody that is able to walk through things. I know I'm not a big sci-fi person. I've seen a couple out there. My brothers are into that. Probably some of my sisters, you know, they'll watch that stuff. But some of those creatures that they have and their powers is amazing. Here, we're dealing with the Lord, God himself walking through a shut door, and he didn't have any problem doing that. We see here these disciples, and this is actually this is the apostles. We see in verse 23, we'll get down into it, where he breathes on them to receive the Holy Ghost, and there are the apostles. They have some powers that were unique to the apostles, all right? And the Bible had not been finished or completed yet, so there's still quite a bit that needed to be written and completed. And so he had to work with some of the apostles here. But we see how this unfolds here this morning. So they were assembled in the evening, and they were all together. That's another reason somebody was left out. We just read about Thomas. Thomas was left. He did not get to see the Savior the first time. I'll tell you something. You miss church. The Bible says this, where two or three gathered in my name. Doesn't have to be actually right here. This is where we've chosen to assemble as a church, the physical body of the body of Christ. But if you're not here, you're going to miss some things. And the Bible teaches this here, and I'll get off, don't want to get too far out here. But notice with me, it says, for fear of the Jews came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, notice what he says, peace be unto you. This is what they needed to hear from their Lord and their Savior, that everything is okay, it's fine. And I could just imagine what their mind was thinking about that crucifixion of their Christ. But he says here, peace be unto you. It's a message in itself. But notice verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I want to say the appearance of a living Savior. He is coming back. He's coming back again, just as he appeared here. He's coming back. Secondly, I want to notice in verses 21 through 23, authority of a living Savior. Notice the authority that is established right here in these verses. Read with me verses 21. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hand. I'm sorry, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Number one, he gives them the command that to have peace. Peace be unto you. Everything's okay. Settle. I'm here. We're here. And as the Lord hath sent me, so send I you. So he was commissioning them. He was beginning the process of turning this to them. And they were going to go out and teach and preach and baptize every nation, it says in Matthew. But here he sends them. We see he has the authority to give peace, number one. Number two, he has the authority to send the disciples to the world. Now, that's some authority. Let's read on. There's a couple more here. Notice with me verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That is some power, and that was given from the Lord. Here we see he has the authority here to provide the Holy Spirit. Remember, he was telling them that, look, I need to go to the cross. This is going to happen because if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter unto you. Now, there's a couple places where this unfolds. Right here, we see the first one. These apostles, I'm going to call them apostles, were assembled here, and he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. Later, a little bit later on in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where he said they were endued with power to become witnesses. All right, and so there's another part where the Holy Spirit comes down like a rushing mighty wind and come upon them. And so we see that there's a couple different places as this church starts and begins. We see that that this comes from God himself. And here we see that he has the authority to provide the Holy Spirit. And we see a little bit here. So whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Notice here, you begin to see that the authority he has in giving to the apostles' authority. An apostle was somebody who had, number one, had to see the resurrected Lord. Number two, he had received the power from God of the Holy Spirit to be placed upon him. He had special authority to cast out devils. He had special authorities. He could drink poison and not die. He could be bitten of a serpent and not die. He could raise the dead. He had that kind of power. He could heal. We see Peter, we see the Apostle Paul, but as you go on into the church age, you see those powers and that kind of working there of signs, it fades away, begins to fade away. You say, why does it fade away? Why does the Bible say it's done away with? Well, it's done away with because you have the completed Word of God. The completed revelation had been written somewhere around about 95, 96 AD. And so we see that what is complete, that which in part the Bible says is done away with, and that which is complete is come, and the Word of God takes the place. And we see, though, here early on, as he begins to charge these men, these apostles, with authority to go into the world and proclaim the gospel. And they had seen the resurrected Lord. There's one more point here I want to notice with me. Turn there, my Bible turns, but in verse 24, on our text, John chapter 20, verse 24, notice with me here, we're going to draw some things on Thomas here. But it says, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. I like how that's recorded. You say, what do you like about it? Because you'll miss out on a lot if you're not where the Lord's at. You say, well, I think the Lord's everywhere present. Yeah, he is, but he commissioned, you see his commission here, he didn't go to where Thomas was at. Thomas should have been where the others were at. They were a meeting and assembling, just like we are today. And so the Lord wants to bring that out and pointed that out and left it for you and I to grasp and to learn from. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He was a little dramatic, you might say, about what he said he's going to have to do before he believed. And notice how far away his faith was from simply believing what his brethren had told him, that they had seen the risen Lord. When you miss out, sometimes your faith gets weak. And so here he was saying, look, I need to put my finger into his wounds before I believe. And you're like, wow, what is going on? Well, the Lord has something to say about that. We'll read on. But you say, what are you saying? Well, thirdly, we're looking at the announcement of a living Savior. They were announcing to Thomas that they had seen the resurrected Savior. So we see the appearance of a living Savior. We see the authority of a living Savior. Now we're looking at the announcement of the living Savior. Here, let's read on. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Verse 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. Here they are assembling again. All right? And Thomas with them. Now he's with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, wow, wonder why he would want to say something to Thomas. I'm sure he'll have something for you to say or for me when we begin to slide and our faith begins to weaken. The Lord's just not going to let you drift off without saying something to you. And so here he addresses the problem in the room. Watch this. Verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side." This draws your attention to the omniscience of God. God all-knowing, all-powerful, always present. But he knew what Thomas had said. He knew what Thomas was thinking. And he knew what Thomas believed and didn't believe. And here he was addressing that very subject. And so we see, and he thrust it, he's telling him, "And thrust it into my side and be not faithless." Faith has something to do with it. And here he was tagging Thomas as being faithless. When you don't believe, when you don't believe the Word of God, especially the preaching, the teaching, especially if it lines up with the Word of God, you are in a state of faithless or weak faith. And he addressed this time and time again with his believers and his disciples and the apostles. Here we're seeing as he's dealing with an individual, Thomas, because Thomas had doubted. Thomas was a doubter. And that's where that comes from. He was faithless. And he says here, "And be not faithless, but believing." He wanted him to believe. He's going to need him to believe. And he wasn't forcing him, but he needed to make this decision. This morning, there's a decision for you to make. I know we'll have a lot of people here. And that's wonderful, and that's great. And it should be that way. But it should be that way every Sunday morning. We should have the faith enough to believe in our Savior, to assemble ourselves and to worship our God who is arisen and who will come again one day. But notice in verse 29 or verse 28 as we wrap this up, we're saying Thomas missed the appearance of Jesus. He expressed his doubts. When Jesus appeared to Thomas the second time, he believed. Jesus announces that the ones who do not see and still believe are blessed. Notice this. This deals with you and I presently. Watch this, and he says, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God." He believed, and that's a wonderful thing. Now watch verse 29. "Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." So he clarifies to Thomas why he's believing him. It's because he's seen him. Now watch this. Can somebody get saved and not see Christ? Let's see what God has to say about that. "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Wow. So this morning, that's why we preach a risen Savior. Yeah, you can't physically see him with your eyes, but the half of it's only been told. The Bible speaks of you and I seeing the world and seeing the spirit world and what God has laid forth through a glass, a dark glass. We can't see everything. We don't know everything. There's a lot of questions in our mind, but yet the Bible declares that we still have enough faith to believe in a risen Savior. This morning, do you believe in the risen Savior? Let me read some verses here and we'll wind this down. Behold, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 18, "Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes." You want to know who set that up? Who instigated that? It was the priest and the scribes. "And they shall condemn him to death." And that's exactly what they did. "And shall deliver him to the Gentiles." Were Gentiles present? Yes, they were. "To mock and to scourge and to crucify him. The third day he shall rise again." So that's a future. Watch what the Bible goes on to say in verse John chapter 20, kind of right where we're at. We didn't have time to read these verses, but in verse 8 and 9, "Then went in also that other disciple," speaking of the writer, that's John, he was a younger man, "which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead." You understand that they didn't have the completed word of God like we do today. We know he is arisen, But that was in the moment, in the present. The Bible had not been completed. And John here is describing that he went to the sepulcher and he saw it was empty and he believed on God. And so we see, lastly, one of my favorite verses dealing with this time of the year, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, whatever you want to call it. It's John chapter 11, verse 25, 26, and this summarizes a living Savior. Jesus said unto her, this is Jesus Christ speaking, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He asked the lady. This morning I ask you, do you believe in the resurrected Savior this morning? Hopefully you do. Hopefully you've put your trust in the finished work, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's our gospel we preach today, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for your word. Father, we do serve a resurrected Savior. So many things said about it in scriptures, so many things that are recorded. And Father, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you have arisen and that you were crucified, and I've put my faith and trust in you. Father, we pray this morning that if there be one here lost that has not accepted you as a resurrected Savior, as Lord of their life, I pray that they would do that today. Today would be a wonderful day to accept you, to believe as Thomas did, as John did, and in the other apostles. And Father, we thank you for this free gift that you've given to save mankind. Now we ask these things this morning. We're thankful for them. We thank you for your word, giving us a witness that we can bear to the believing. And though we have not seen you, yet we still believe. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.